Bob and Damon were playing louder than I was because they knew Trek much more deeply, much more thoroughly than I did. JJ and I think had probably more similar interests because we were, frankly, more Star Wars people.
Nerderotic.com.
This video is going to be as much about the Access Media as it is about Star Trek. And this is an innocent enough title. Picard can unite Star Trek's divided fandom. And certainly that is something I hope happens. But we know hope is not a strategy. And we know we are reading an Access Media article. So we are going to get the obligatory shots towards critics of this show. And they're going to be the same arguments that they have been for the last couple years. But if you like what I do here, please consider subscribing to the channel. YouTube has made a couple of changes, one very recently, that has adversely affected the smaller channels here on YouTube, and we need your help more than ever. If you could please continue to like and share the videos, I would greatly appreciate it, and your favorite YouTuber would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Now, Screen Rant is a place I pick on quite a bit because they quite frankly deserve it. And Thomas Bacon has written one of the worst Access Media articles I have read in quite some time. I'm very pessimistic about this show, I'm not going to lie, but I would like to preface that I have given Star Trek a fair shot, Alex Kurtzman's Star Trek. You can look at this playlist at your leisure if you want. I reviewed every single Star Trek Discovery episode, and I gave it a fair shot. It's just not a good show for a lot of reasons that I've chronicled pretty well on this channel. But with this show, this is going to be something that's going to be tough for me to criticize. I'll be honest with you. Now, I don't think it's going to be good, like I said before. It's produced by Alex Kurtzman. Akiva Goldsman is one of the writers, and the showrunner who was brought on halfway through the production has never run a show and has written one 15 or 16 minute episode of Star Trek, and it was terrible. It had a shooting star in deep space. We are, of course, talking about Berkeley's own Michael Chabon, who has won a Pulitzer Prize, an obvious fan of science because one time he liked a picture of an asteroid on Instagram. Star Trek Discovery was initially a hard show to criticize because A, it was Star Trek, and B, it had Doug Jones in it, one of the nicest people in Hollywood. But Sonequa Martin-Green, Anthony Rapp, Alex Kurtzman, and Little Ricky from My So-Called Life made it very easy to criticize as time went on. I don't want to criticize Sir Patrick Stewart. I feel like I'm in the same situation as before, but much worse. I'm not looking forward to this. While I think there's a better chance at San Francisco having a poop-free sidewalk for 24 hours than Alex Kurtzman producing good Star Trek, I will consider that it could happen. But I'm wondering if the Access Media can come up with some new arguments against people who simply criticize a TV show, especially if you are a Star Trek fan. Star Trek Picard could be just what the Star Trek franchise needs, to unite a divided fandom. Over the last few years, the concept of fandom has gone through something of an unfortunate transformation. Hard stop there. Thomas Bacon, I'm guessing you're a youngster. Welcome to fandom. It's always been like this. It'll always be like this. Grab a helmet. Fandom was once seen as a participatory culture in which fans celebrate their love of a franchise. What dream world are you from? Fandom has always been like this because it started with a bunch of social outcasts, outsiders, and socially awkward people. But what has made it a lot worse is the Access Media and articles like this, kicking the hornet's nest and blaming the hornets. I'm not kidding, folks. This one's going to sound like the Access Media's greatest hits. Tell me if you haven't heard this one before. Now it's become an expression of ownership. Thomas Bacon, I'm going to speak really slowly for you. Star Trek is a billion-dollar franchise because the fans made it that way. They spent their hard-earned money, and more importantly, they spent their time invested in it. And I know that sounds like ownership to you, but it's not. And while technically the fans don't own Star Trek, CBS should treat it as if they do. It's American mythology, and it would have never made it this far without them. And for Alex Kurtzman to come in and just wipe away 50 plus years worth of canon, that is disrespecting the fan. Alex Kurtzman was gifted one of the greatest franchises in American history. He was given the keys to the castle. He invited a bunch of hookers and peed in the pool. That is what fans have a problem with. It is clearly in the wrong hands, considering what we have seen with Walter Mosley. It betrayed the ideals of Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek. I'll backtrack a little bit. Now it becomes an expression of ownership, with fans determined to shape the franchise they love, and railing against creatives, no, they are called repurposers, whose decisions they disagree with. Sometimes they have a point. Well, in current Star Trek, it's pretty much every time. But on other occasions, it's just downright nasty. Nasty, huh? You mean like this? Yeah, that's pretty nasty. And that's from little Ricky from My So-Called Life. And here come more of those Access Media greatest hits. Take the Star Wars franchise, for example. The release of Star Wars The Last Jedi provoked a vocal backlash among some parts of the fandom, in large part because it didn't line up with the stories and theories fans had built up over the last couple of years. Hard stop right there. That is a narrative that comes straight from the repurposers formerly known as the creatives. They try to place their ineptitude on the fans because they write bad stories that the fans clap back on. They don't think their work could possibly be that bad, so they think it's fan jealousy. It's fan envy. The fans don't get heartbroken over their theories. It's something that has built fandom, and it really is a narrative from people who don't have a lot of experience with fandom. It's time for the Access Media's number one greatest hit. Nearly 50% of the backlash was really political trolling, with politically active fans rejecting the concept of diversity, and actress Kelly Marie Tran was hounded off of social media. There's so much wrong with that paragraph, I don't even know where to start. For one, we're still talking about Star Trek, aren't we? And Kelly Marie Tran being hounded off of social media, that is still pretty questionable. I know she wrote an article, but that was after the narrative possibly was fed to her after she got off of social media because she was filming a Star Wars movie. And the 50% of the backlash was really political trolling. We know that has been debunked. Screen Rant refers to one of their own articles from a year ago, but I will take you to a CNET article owned by CBS, by the way, that debunks it. I don't know if Thomas Bacon is a freelance writer or a staff writer for Screen Rant, but obviously he's a very busy man because he didn't have the 30 seconds it took me to look up this article and get some screen grabs. No, half of the Last Jedi haters were not Russian trolls. Numerous reports say The Last Jedi negativity was influenced by Russian bots and trolls, but the reality is far different. About 40% different. This is from a paper written by somebody named Morton Bay from the University of Southern California, based on 1,273 tweets to Ryan Johnson. It turns out some of these tweets were repetitive, so it was only about 900 or so, and it turns out that only 10% of them were possibly from Russian bots. Now, this guy, to me, has lost all credibility within a couple paragraphs in his article, but let's continue anyway. Compared to Star Wars, the Star Trek fandom is fairly pedestrian and well-behaved, and much, much smaller. Which makes sense. The concept of diversity was baked into the franchise by Gene Roddenberry himself. Then why did you bring it up with Star Wars fans just a paragraph ago? Were you trying to conflate Star Trek and Star Wars fans? And were you just calling the Star Wars fans racist? Well, they're not either. For all that's the case, though, the Star Trek fandom has its own divisions, and Star Trek Picard could well be the solution. Now, here they go over the foundation of sand that Star Trek was built on by hiring Jar Jar Abrams. And Jar Jar Abrams has brought that same foundation to Star Wars. The problems began with Jar Jar Abrams' reboot of the Star Trek franchise. In a sense, he represented competing visions of just what Star Trek really is. Abrams wasn't a natural fan of the franchise, meaning he wasn't a fan of the franchise, always finding it something of a turnoff when he was a kid. Growing up, I thought, honestly, I couldn't get into it, he admitted in an interview on The Daily Show. My friends loved it. I would try. I would watch episodes, but it always felt too philosophical for me. This is the person they have running Star Wars. This is the person they're going to have running the DCEU. How does this guy get work? too philosophical. It was too thinky for me. As a result, when Abrams was placed in charge of Star Trek, he attempted to reinvent the wheel. His Star Trek reboot was a lot less cerebral and a lot more action-focused. Some fans weren't keen on the very idea of the Kelvin timeline, some fans, while others felt Abrams didn't even understand Roddenberry's vision and consequently felt he was disrespecting it, which he was. And this is where this article turns into a bunch of filler, so we're going to get past that. He resets that Star Trek Discovery had the same tone as Abrams' reboot, and it didn't really work with the fans. But then he makes, well, a ridiculous statement right about here. Still, Star Trek Discovery Season 2 was a success, pivoting away from the human Klingon War, going to great lengths to write its continuity-challenged advanced tech out, and casting Anson Mount as the beloved Captain Pike, which really was a bee in their bonnet because Alex Kurtzman himself said this was a female-centric show that required a white male lead to come and save it, and it really didn't do it. It just divided the fans further, especially how they treated Captain Pike. The fandom remains divided, but the wounds feel as though they're beginning to heal. Well, that is just dreaming, and this is where the shill starts shilling. And the BS starts flowing. Picard naturally appeals to the nostalgia factor. Of course, that brings us neatly to Star Trek Picard, which feels perfectly positioned to help unite the divided fandom once again. And then they just reset what brought Picard back on TV. And it's obvious Star Trek Discovery wasn't a success. Season 2 wasn't a success. If this show was, they wouldn't need Star Trek Picard. They need a man nearly in his 80s to come and save this franchise. This is a Hail Mary. Then the article goes on with some fluff and states the obvious that they're bringing back Picard for nostalgia. But then some CBS executives start contradicting themselves. CBS EVP of original content, Julie McNamara, suggests that the show would be very familiar in style to old school Star Trek fans as well. In terms of the character and the nature of the storytelling, Picard is probably more like Next Generation, she observed. I think tonally, it's a little bit of a hybrid. Slower, more gentle, more lyrical. It is more character-based. So it's basically a TV show. You're saying it's a TV show with actors who act in it with music. It's lyrical. They're always equating it to music. Listen, Picard is going to be a hybrid of Next Generation and Star Trek Discovery. That's what I heard before. Folks, it's almost over. He blesses us with more wisdom. Nostalgia, he says, is a force to be reckoned with in modern fandom. Consider me blown away. And Star Trek Picard seems perfectly designed to appeal to it, while it hasn't so far. What's more, the show promises to cling to the very core concept of Star Trek itself. That would be a first for Alex Kurtzman, the idea of looking to the future with hope. Jean-Luc Picard became a living symbol of that hope, a man who believed in the ideals of the Federation and would always strive for peace. Well, we're obviously not getting it with this show because it starts out with him losing his faith. The trailers for Star Trek Picard have suggested Picard's faith in the Federation has been shaken. Well, that doesn't sound very hopeful to me. But they seem to suggest he's about to start a journey to regain his moral core. Considering this is the same thing we heard about Star Trek Discovery Season 2, and we got Betrayal Within the Federation and Section 31, which Alex Kurtzman seems to love, and it looks like we're getting that in Picard. And we also got a severed Klingon baby head.
So that's part of it, but we're definitely seeing just metric proof that there's the fan base is growing and it's growing younger.
I would like to see evidence of that metric proof. I was at Star Trek Las Vegas. I talked to a lot of people on live streams, and I have been a Star Trek fan all my life. I continue to say it is aging out. It has been for a while. And at Star Trek Las Vegas, the average age was at least 40. If not, then there's a bunch of 20-year-olds with boilers and gray hair. But a further contradiction shows in a statement from a CBS chief executive officer, David Nevins, recently confirmed that they aim to expand Star Trek's legacy and brand to reach new, younger viewers. And this is a recent statement, and this is all he said. What we're trying to do right now with Star Trek is build that brand, he explained. We want it to get younger and more relevant to people. And I'm sure a show with an 80-year-old lead will help grow the brand with the youths of America. You know, Doctor Who made that same mistake. They did capture a new generation of fans. They did get younger, and then they cast Peter Capaldi and lost everything they had gained. There's a sense in which Star Trek Discovery has served as a trial run for adapting the Star Trek franchise for the 21st century. Well, that's been a very expensive trial run, and it certainly hasn't worked. Again, that is why we have Star Trek Picard. Star Trek Picard will have the same scale as Discovery and the same kind of modernized approach to storytelling. In other words, it will be filled with modern agenda. It's already known that we're going to have an allegory for immigration, along with the girl that is the key to everything, which is the same thing we're getting in Terminator. Meanwhile, it will also be set further forward in the Star Trek timeline than ever before, bar the upcoming Star Trek Discovery Season 3, which gives the show a great deal of narrative freedom. It can set up a brand new status quo, one that isn't overly dependent on knowledge of the past, that doesn't rely on decades worth of continuity. It's the perfect way to appeal to brand new viewers. Ugh. If you want to unite the fan base, the first thing you have to do is start actually making Star Trek. It is clearly in the wrong hands. Alex Kurtzman and Michelle Paradise, and with Michael Chabon, it remains to be seen. Picard could be a good show, and even if it's a mediocre show, that would help things, that would heal things. But as long as Kurtzman's there, we know what we're gonna get. He said it, we are still gonna get Star Trek Discovery Picard. And that is not going to make fans happy, and that is not going to heal anything, because they have lost what this show is about. They clearly don't even know what this show is about. They have been spending their time trying to break free of canon instead of trying to work with the canon. And it seems like they're working just as hard, so I don't really understand it. But if you want to heal Star Trek, start making Star Trek and stop attacking fans and calling people who criticize your work Russian bots or istophobes. That's a good place to start, and that starts with you, Access Media.
I've sort of come to the realization that if you're at a 50-50 split, you're doing well.
Last time I checked, a 50-50 split is a divide. A divided fan base is not a healthy fan base. The reason it's a divided fan base is because of Alex Kurtzman and CBS. But now I hear we're going to get a shocking ending to Star Trek Picard Season 1, which tells me everything I need to hear. Yes, I want it to be good, but this sounds like more of the same J.J. Abrams, Alex Kurtzman mystery box gimmick shock storytelling instead of that cerebral, philosophical storytelling we miss so much. Maybe someday. If you like what you heard, please like, share, and subscribe. If you didn't like what you heard, well, thanks for listening this long. I will see you in the next video.
Nerderotic.com. Please subscribe.